We are back 6:20 on a Tuesday evening in Lansing. Michael Cohen, 1320 WILS. Well, Governor Snyder today abruptly escorted out of a meeting with Detroit's Council of Baptist Pastors after protesters started shouting about the emergency financial manager law and the proposed ballot proposal to eliminate it. To talk about what was discussed before the governor quickly left, I'm joined by Pastor Michael Owens. He's the pastor of Bethel Baptist Church and the president of the Council of Baptist Pastors. Pastor Owens, thanks for joining us on WILS this evening.
Thank you for having me.
And so before we get to the focus of the meeting, when the governor first got up to speak to the council, apparently protesters began chanting, "Pay us our money." What was his reaction? What was your reaction?
Well, it was a bit surprising to us because the protesters had entered the sanctuary, which was fine. Our meetings are public. One of our former police officers collected their placards that they were using outside. So I thought that they had pretty well conceded to being part of a peaceful meeting because our meetings are not street rallies. But when the governor began to make his remarks, they did start their chanting. And I asked the governor to step to the side, and I asked them not to do that again, otherwise we would have to ask them to leave. And they assured me that they would not.
I see, but apparently that wasn't the end of it then. At what point did the governor leave, and was it abrupt? Were you surprised he left? Should he have maybe stayed a bit longer?
Actually, it seemed more abrupt to those who did not know how the questions and presentation was formatted. The governor made his initial remarks for the first 10 minutes, and then we took questions and answers. At the point that we knew he had taken the last question, I'm sure it seemed to the audience that he might be there a bit longer. And the leader of the protest tried to interject his remarks without being acknowledged and walked up toward the podium. And so we thought it best to go ahead and usher the governor out rather than have him linger. But it was more a distraction than a disruption because we really were finished with the Q&A at that time.
The meeting then was about a half hour or so.
Yes.
Okay. Yeah, now, part of the meeting, I know it was to discuss the voting registration legislation that is awaiting his signature. Of course, there were other issues too. But what did he tell the council about the voting changes that may very well take effect if he signs the bills?
Well, he actually said the right things. He echoed our concerns that voters not be disenfranchised. He seemed genuinely sensitive to the fact that the laws might indeed do that. And I asked him what timeline did he have for his decision, and he said in the next couple of days. So he invited us to make our points clear that we wanted him to be sensitive to, such as, the extraordinary need for people to demonstrate ID who perhaps did not have it, or to have seniors make adjustments that they were not necessarily accustomed to. Mm-hmm. And he asked us to put that in writing, and our counselor will send him a letter to that effect expressing our concerns.
I see,
he said the right thing. We just hope that he will do the right thing.
So he didn't give you any kind of clear answer as to whether or not he agrees with your perspective on it. I mean, was there any discussion about the other side and some of the merits they have when it comes to this legislation?
No, he did not proceed to defend it at all. He simply said that he was still deliberating over it and showed no bias one way or the other.
Now, the protesters that were there, was the focus then on this proposal to eliminate the emergency financial manager law, or were there other things they were more concerned about?
I think we shared a priority on the voting requirements, the laws affecting those. It's just that our manner for engaging the governor about them was very different. So we posed that question first, and they seemed to be pleased with the fact that we had taken up that cause. We were also concerned about the consent agreement and whether or not the state would be heavy-handed in leveraging itself against the city by withholding funds. Again, as they have in recent weeks, we thought that that was a very strong-handed approach to what should be a more conciliatory relationship with the city and making sure the consent agreement was effective.
I'm talking to Pastor Michael Owens, the president of the Council of Baptist Pastors in Detroit. Now, the consent agreement, obviously, we've already had some issues. There was the lawsuit that was dropped at the last moment, although the state was threatening to pull revenue sharing funds. So what did the governor say? Because he's been fairly firm, it seems, on the consent agreement and for Detroit to abide by what the state is telling them to do, is he not?
Right. I think his position was basically the city needs to comply with what it has agreed to do, and if it doesn't, then the only thing left to him are extraordinary means. I think that's his position, although it has been our position all along that there ought to be, you know, enough due process built into the process so that a disagreement about this, that, or the other as to how it should work does not trigger, like a hair trigger, the bringing in of an emergency manager or some other means that would be excessive.
Was there a crowd reaction to each of these topics? I mean, I know this is another very contentious issue in Detroit. Were there any boos or jeering that occurred?
I think that the responses along the way, as he was giving the questions, sometimes it met with, you know, jeers, and I didn't hear many cheers because we tend to be at diametrically opposed positions than the governor. But I don't think that that those expressions were unruly. Pretty much goes with the landscape. But at the,
understand. Let me ask you, did the Detroit-Windsor Bridge, did that come up? He, of course, is now ready to proceed even without the legislature on this plan. Was it discussed, and are Detroiters in the council supportive of the project?
What we're supportive of is if the project is successful, that it be because it creates a lot of jobs, and that Detroiters, basically persons on the U.S. side of the project are rewarded with jobs that will affect our economy in a positive way, and that we see, you know, across-the-board representation in how those jobs are distributed. I don't know that we have any fundamental problem with the bridge. We just have noticed that when major projects come, people in our community tend to be wholesale left out.
No, but did the governor acknowledge, though, that this is a project that is, now that the agreement has been set, very different than the original one? It's a project that's going to be run by the Canadians, and really Michigan as a state will only be advising in the process.
Those were not his words. he seemed to be very positive and upbeat about it, but we did not spend a lot of time on the issue.
So was this a productive meeting? Are you happy this happened? Do you think in some ways it may have done more harm than good, considering the reaction of the crowd?
Oh, absolutely not. I think that, you know, the protesters had made it well publicized that they intended to be here. I accept that protest is part of the political landscape. I wish they had been more respectful and less offensive about it, but we were prepared for it. And I think that the bottom line is that when it was all said and done, we had a very good opportunity to make our case with the governor about perspectives that affect our community at large. And I think he was able to separate our sentiments and positions from those of the protesters, at least in terms of means chosen to engage him.
Now, just 30 seconds left, but do you think the governor's position when it comes to Detroit is different than the Republican legislature, or are they pretty much in line?
I haven't seen the evidence that that there's much daylight in between them. I'm certainly hoping that as we have these issues going forward, especially with the voter rights and voter participation being affected by the laws that are now before him, that he would give himself considerably more pause, because, as our counselor said in the meeting, I think it would irreparably damage relationships that he's trying to build with these community tour stops that he's making if he goes forward and signs legislation that disenfranchises our people.
Pastor Michael Owens, president of the Council of Baptist Pastors in Detroit, the governor speaking to the council this morning. Pastor Owens, thanks for joining us on WILS this evening.
Thank you so much.
Coming up next, we're going to talk about a workplace without a boss. It's happening more and more. Workers seem to be just fine. That's next. Michael Cohen, 1320 WILS.